Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
The kitchen counter as like a sacred place, and for that reason they like did not make out. Please forgive me if I'm wrong. I'm very much paraphrasing from what I remember, because I
they need to tell all the other BL boys.
Yeah, because I literally went in the room and I was like, well, that's not what happened in Step by Step. They literally set up about the kitchen counter.
Hi guys, welcome to Lovecast the BL podcast. I'm your host Heather, and we've got Kayla and Alexa joining me today. So today we're actually talking about something that I don't know if this is something that people have spoken about before, but basically the relationship between BL and food. This topic kind of came about mainly because of Cooking Crush is airing at the moment, and technically none of us have actually watched Cooking Crush yet, so if you're here for Cooking Crush, I'm so sorry, this is not the episode for you. But it kind of like randomly triggered a little like idea moment in my brain, and I was like we should do a food themed episode. And everyone agreed, and everyone was like, oh my god, the amount of food that's in BL and the way that food ties into romantic relationships is fascinating. And So yeah, here we are to talk about food and BL and iconic food moments in BL. And I guess, yeah, I don't know what else to say except jumping right in.
Yeah. No, I feel like I feel like we've kind of touched on very briefly in other episodes tangentially about like food and community and kind of like food and culture. And so I feel like romance, food and romance, kind of it all kind of ties together into one, like using food as a way to express how you feel about people in different ways. So I think there's a lot that can kind of like a lot of overlap between BL and food and romance and the way food is used in a bunch of different ways. That's going to be really interesting to touch on based on what we have here. So, yeah,
definitely. Definitely. I think I guess we might as well just jump right in and start talking about the connection between food and romance. So You mentioned community, but I kind of want to start maybe at our first dot point, which is food as a way of fostering relationships and expressing interest. So when I was thinking about this topic, the very first thing that popped into my head was the whole relationship with food in Until We Meet Again. And this is actually kind of, I guess, coming off the back of our love languages episode, and the idea of Palm making food for Dean and the way that he expresses his interest and his care around making food and giving food to Dean. And so I think like kind of building on that, this idea that I guess as the receiver, so I'm not even talking about the giver at this stage, as the receiver, I guess knowing that someone is thinking about you in that moment and that they want to make something with their hands and give that to you as a way to show their care is, I find that romantic. And I'm pretty sure I literally said the exact same thing in our love languages episode, but like just this idea of the food building this relationship between people is so interesting. And we definitely see that in Until We Meet Again. Like it is full on a driving force in that story. And we kind of see it with like Lay's. So between Win and Team.
True.
And the chips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think, and it also kind of ties into something that we talked about in the love language episode in like nonverbal communication. So like thinking about Until We Meet Again, making food for Dean and his team was like a way for Parm to express his feelings because he did not feel comfortable to say them outwardly. And so I think that kind of like for people who may not be as good as like verbally expressing themselves, you know, like making someone for something or even just like buying them a snack or the oishi drinks that we see all the time, you know, it kind of is like another way to show that you're thinking about this person and you care about this person. And it's a way for the receiver to kind of understand that in a way that's not necessarily, you know, hearing the words, but they're like, oh, this person is thinking of me in this way or knows that I like this food or knows that I've been studying for however long and haven't been eating or drinking properly. And so like, it's another form of like nonverbal expression, which I think is why we see it come up a lot in different ways in these shows.
Yeah. There's also like the added element of a show, for example, like Until We Meet Again, where Parm is making a lot of traditional Thai desserts that have specific meanings. So if you incorporate the meaning of it into it, it's like another layer of like almost like catering specific desserts to Dean that he feels that he might like. So I just wanted to add that.
Which is so special. Like, so you've got like that layer of making something to show you care. And then you've got the extra layer of finding out what that person enjoys and giving that to them so they have this experience. Like, so it makes them happy, so they have this enjoyable experience because you want to make them happy. Like, that's so romantic. And
yes, it is.
That's, No, I think that Until We Meet Again does that, like, really weaves that food, like, romance type of thing into that story so well.
Yeah, and I think it's funny because, like, food is prominent in Until We Meet Again, but, like, if you asked me if it was a food show about food, I wouldn't say yes. So, like, I think it's really interesting how they found a way to incorporate it so meaningfully with all these ties back to their soulmate connection and their past lives and make food relevant in a show that's not necessarily, like, a food show, like something like La Cuisine or some of the other stuff we'll discuss later in the episode. So yeah, it's interesting that it comes up as such a prominent example right away because the food is such an iconic part of Until We Meet Again, even though like it wasn't necessarily the focal point of the show or even, well, I think it is pretty focal to their connection, but it's not necessarily a focal point of the show as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. When you think of Until We Meet Again, you don't think of the food, to be honest. Like, that's not the first thing that you think of, unless you're kind of...
Think of your tears that you cried watching.
Oh, you know what I just remembered? The detail that Parm can cook, but past life him couldn't cook. Because there was a whole storyline about him, past life him burning the omelets. He couldn't even, like, cook the omelet.
And then present life... is it Dean in the present life always eats his omelets a little bit burnt for that reason?
Stop. It's not about food, but it kind of is.
But it is.
It means so much.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I, at this point, I actually was thinking about it from the receiver's end. But if you think about it from the giving end as well, like it's such a way to share with someone, I guess, something that you enjoy as well. And it's mm-hmm. a way to show yourself to that person,
mm-hmm.
which kind of brings me to my next point with like food and identity and this idea that food becomes a kind of a part of your identity. If that is something that, like, if cooking or the way that you show care is through food, if that is something, if that is you, then that kind of becomes a part of your identity. And mm-hmm. I was reading, like, I was looking, I do my little deep dives and I end up in the weirdest spaces, and I ended up like reading this
in
thesis.
Academia.
Literally. Same. Point here I want to read. I ended up reading this thesis from this person from the University of Mississippi called Food for Thought, The Role of Food in Romantic Relationships, which, like, that's exactly where I needed to end up. And the quote I wanted to read, which relates to food and identity, is, "Food is obviously used to satisfy the body's need, but it can also serve a communicative function. Through the food we eat and make, we confirm who we are and who we are not."
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, and like expanding off of this quote and this idea, I was thinking that, like, when food and cooking become so ingrained with your sense of self, the act of sharing this part of your identity with a partner can be seen as such an intimate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this intimate act is something that we see in quite a few BLs, the ones that are like centered around food, but also the ones that aren't, like, and we keep going back to Until We Meet Again at the moment, but like Until We Meet Again, where Palm's sense of self is definitely tied in with his cooking and making mm-hmm. of desserts. And so him sharing this aspect with Dean in a romantic sense and with his friends, not in a romantic sense, but in a loving community sense.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
it's so ingrained in his sense of self, and it's such a way for him to show who he is.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so special.
Yeah. That quote and, like, this whole section on food and identity actually made me really think of Jang from Step by Step, because Jang is someone who works his corporate job. Like, he's set to inherit this company that he doesn't really care about. It's not necessarily what he wants to do. Like, he's really passionate about cooking, and he runs a restaurant in his spare time, basically. And, you know, right away, Pat doesn't know that Jang is the one who's cooking this food at this restaurant that he really loves. But it becomes kind of like a way for Jang to, like, bear his true self to Pat, essentially. Like, this is who I actually am. This is how I show you how I care about you. This is, like, the stuff that I'm actually passionate about outside of, like, my stoic work persona that you've gotten to know. So, like, this idea of, like, food as a way to communicate and show your true self to someone that you may be hiding in your daily life, or that people might just not be aware of. It really made me think back to, like, Jang and him, like, being this literally a chef running a restaurant on the back burner that most people don't know about him because, you know, his friend fronts as the person who owns it, and how, like, that ties so deeply to him kind of, like, getting closer to Pat and cooking for him and showing him the back end of this restaurant and stuff like that. So I kind of went to him immediately.
Yeah. And then there's the one episode where they go and, like, try all these other restaurants' food, and they're kind of, like, bonding over it and getting closer over food, which I think is something we'll get more into.
Yeah.
But
definitely.
Yeah.
Well, also that drives right into the idea that food can connect to the love languages, especially quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of eating and cooking together, and going back to Step by Step, when they're going to all of those restaurants, they're spending time, quality time together, in, like, and they're enjoying this food with each other, and they're enjoying literally physically going to these restaurants with each other and spending that time and talking and understanding each other and learning about each other. And, like, that's all because of food.
Yeah. It's like being with each other is like more important with the than the food at that point, but like the food was like the catalyst to make that possible, you know?
Definitely. I guess we've kind of already touched on like the acts of service. This keeps coming back to love languages. We'll move on from love languages, but
I swear we'll move on
this
from love
idea, like,
languages.
we will. This idea just kind of like, I think I'm pretty sure now that I'm talking about it, it was the love languages episode that really like
Set it
made me
off.
think about, really set this off. But the cooking and preparing food for your significant other. So that brings me to like Lovely Writer. And and just this idea of like making sure the person that you care about is eating and making sure that they're looked after and they're comfortable and kind of this idea that to help them, you're helping them in this way. This is the way that you're showing that you care, and it's through this help and through this language of food. Like, yeah, I don't know how else to expand on that without saying stuff that we've already said in literally another episode. But yeah, I just.
Food actually did come up so much in that Love Languages episode. So I feel like this kind of is almost like a sequel to
It's like
that, like a
it's a
more
companion.
detailed sequel.
It's a companion episode, yeah.
But yeah, no, 100% like food as a way to take care of your person and let them know that like you're looking out for them and you know doing these things without asking, I think too, or like when they're not expecting it, is a portion of it. And I always think it's like particularly endearing when it's like the roles are reversed and it's like the person who's not necessarily good at cooking will go out of their way to try and like
Oh.
make a meal for their partner to show like I know this is something you like or something you've been looking forward to. So it kind of talks about like Parmenas past life not being able to cook it until we meet again, but wanting to try it anyways to show like as this like way of showing his partner that like he cared about him and wanted to do this for him. So I always think that's like a really endearing element as well. Like when the person who can't cook is going out of their way to try and like make this dish
Oh my
for and
gosh.
do something that's like not in necessarily in their comfort zone because they know that their partner would appreciate it or enjoy it.
I feel like even like someone buying food and bringing it to the person when they've been like studying or working for a long time has the same kind of meaning attached to it because it is like you were thinking of them and you're like very tuned in to knowing that they're probably tired and have worked hard and you just care about them and want them to eat.
Want them to be healthy and nourished.
Yeah, that also
I
kind of
said.
like ties into something that I added at the bottom, but like how there seems to be like a trope of one character bringing another like soup, some kind of soup when they're sick. That is very much love language territory as well.
Yes, definitely in Thai BL. We see the bag of soup, the bag of congee.
Yeah, or like making the porridge for them and like making that like a whole thing. I know that's big in Korean drama and Korean BL. It's like making porridge for someone when they're sick. And kind of like using that to bring them back to health and nourish them in that way is a huge trope. And I think it does kind of tie back into like food culturally, how significant it is to like these countries, and why that's like such a significant act of care for someone to like bring them a dish or make them a dish when they're not feeling well, that type of thing.
It also, I guess, ties into this idea of food is a form of community, and the taking care of your community is like a little offshoot of that. But bringing that back, this idea that, yeah, food is a form of community, and you come together over meals and you share your life, you share your worries, you share your dreams, your goals around this idea of food. Well, not even the idea of food, literally around a table mm-hmm. while you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the way, like, a lot of these places, like, a lot of the restaurants we went to in Thailand, and I know a lot of restaurants in Asian countries do, like, commute, like, family plating, where, like, you order a bunch of dishes and everyone shares them. And so even, like, that aspect of, like, you don't order a single thing for yourself, which is almost very much how it is in America, unless, like, the only time I've done, like, communal eating is at, like, Chinese restaurants and every once in a while, like, Italian family style restaurants. But like in America, mostly you order your own dish, and like, you know, if you want to share it, you'll let someone have like a bite or two, but something about a lot if you want to share it.
You really gotta lack the person if you're sharing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. But like ordering like multiple dishes for the whole table to share also just kind of fosters that sense of like, this is a time that we're spending together, like we're sitting here together, not necessarily just individual doing our own thing. Like this is a time for togetherness, and whether that's with a partner or with your friends or both, kind of like a combination of both, or family meeting your partner for the first time. I feel like we see those scenes a lot with like the parent giving the partner food to kind of like show their acceptance of the partner. I just was watching clips from Cherry Magic Thailand, and that was relevant in the final episode, so like that kind of came to mind. Rambled. I don't really know how to bring that sentence to an end, but yeah.
Yeah, that also I guess the idea of like sharing food ties into the BL trope that I quite enjoy, which is the feeding each other or like wiping like something off.
You wipe
someone's
the sauce
lip.
And then they eat it. Yeah.
Stop.
Yep.
Stop. But like I guess the food then kind of creates a little bit of like an extra connection. So you've got like this connection of sharing, spending time with each other, then like literally sharing the food and feeding each other. And then just like the actual physical touch moment where they wipe like a little bit of sauce or a little bit of cream or something off of their lip. And I'm just like,
yeah,
yes.
It's almost like it can be a more intimate moment within, like, if they're in a big group setting and then, like, they go out of their way to, like, put something on their plate or give them a bite. It's, like, them having their own, like, intimate moment within this, like, larger setting of a meal type thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that reminds me of in Love by Chance, how A would open the shrimps. He would peel the shrimps.
Oh yeah.
Whenever they were in the setting of like with family or friends, and they would all watch him peel the shrimps and be like, "Oh, you like him because you're peeling the shrimps for him." And it became like a almost euphonism, like a sexual joke. Yeah, euphemism. I just remember that.
Oh my god, I totally forgot about that as well. That's so perfect. Yeah. So perfect. Speaking of, I guess, like the fact that that became like a bit of a sexual euphemism, the idea that like, okay, so this is like so out of left field when we're kind of talking about food and romance, and like Alexa made a really good point that I'd love for you to reiterate again when we kind of discussed having this point on the on the sheet, but this idea of food and scent and sexual desire in BL. And the first thing I thought of when I was like thinking about this was in It's a Coconut, the whole like journey of Tae with this coconut scent that OL has, and then like the physical coconut, and then the scent of the coconut with his pen, and just this idea that that is something that he connects so strongly to PP Crit's character. I really butcher that name every time. It's so bad. I'm so sorry, everyone who loves It's a, and I'm really sorry. It's horrible. Yeah. But PP's character, so Bilkin's character connects this idea, this scent of coconut, and this sexual desire he feels when he smells that scent. That sexual desire for PP, not for coconut itself. And
I mean,
that's a whole other series. It's a whole other thing. But like, just this idea that this food is, for him, it connects him so strongly to PP's character. Mm-hmm. I just think that's so interesting that they used this food item and this scent in that way. I can't think of any other examples, which is why I was like, I don't know if this is technically...
I actually just thought of one while you were saying that. I managed to tie everything back to I Feel You Linger in the Air.
Of course.
Olive oil.
Yes.
So
yes.
It is, because I kind of like, you said coconut and I was like, coconut oil, coconut scent. Olive oil is a very significant signifier of desire and sexuality in I Feel You Linger in the Air. So at that time, like, they're kind of using it as a body lotion. And we kind of have this whole scene of Jom essentially oiling up Yai's body. And this is like just after they started dating, and it gets into this like really heated, like, they're both feeling the desire, but Yai stops it. And then Jom goes back to his room with the olive oil and basically like finishes himself off. And it's like this back and forth scene between like Jom, you know, getting himself off versus like him massaging Yai, and like, I guess, thinking back on that while it's happening. Literally, like, every time I like olive oil, if I'm cooking, I feel you linger in the air. Like, you know, so like,
I didn't
think of it initially because it's not necessarily a food, but it is an ingredient. So when you said coconut, I was kind of like, okay, well, you know, it kind of ties in that way. And at that time, they weren't necessarily using it as an ingredient. It was more of like a moisturizer for the body. But most commonly now, I feel like we use it as like an ingredient in cooking. So that's kind of like where it came to mind for me. But literally while you're saying that, I was like, I can tie this back to I Feel You Linger in the Air. Because before we started recording, I was like,
everything comes back to I Feel You Linger in the Air.
And I did it.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
I couldn't think of anything else that, or at least anything that stood out to me that was like another kind of connection between food and sexual desire and showing the desire for one another. But I know that there's 100% other examples out there, if anyone wants to leave them in the comments, because I just find this idea that the scent, like this food and this scent, could help, I guess, like characters realize that they actually do want this other person, slash I just find it so fascinating that food can show this, like, this sense of community, this romance, this sense of care, and also help show this sexual desire, like, in these stories. I just find that so fascinating. I need more examples of everything, but specifically
it's an aphrodisiac. That's what it's called.
That's true.
That's
so true.
What I was kind of like, what I mentioned before we started recording, was like this idea that like romance and sexuality and desire are all exist on a spectrum. So, you know, like, I guess the idea was like, you know, we're talking about food and romance is like, does sexuality and desire and sex belong in this discussion? And I feel like they're all kind of one and the same, not necessarily, but they all tie to each other and connect to each other at different levels. So that was kind of like what I was saying, like, yeah, I think we can include it and kind of touch on it in that way. And I do feel like there probably are a lot of examples of food being a significant catalyst for a realization of desire. Like, I'm sure there's scenes of like someone has like, I can't think of a specific example, but like you have like something sauce like dripping, or well, I guess kind of like someone has sauce on the corner of their mouth and it makes the protagonist think about kissing them. You know, that's a form of like desire.
That's true.
Which we've seen happen a lot on, it's like a smaller scale of desire, but you know, like seeing, honing in on a person's lips like that and realizing, like, yes, I want to kiss them. You know, I want to kiss this sauce off of their face or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are more, like, extreme examples. I can't think of a specific one right now. But, yeah, I think it's it can definitely be, like, a catalyst for, like, realizing you feel a certain way about someone that you didn't necessarily hone in on before.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. Okay. Now we're kind of getting into, I guess, more of the, like, the shows centered around food and talking a little bit more about the shows specifically that have food in them. Maybe not just centered around food, but have food in them as well. And one of the, I think one of the biggest, or like one of the points, one of the shows that came up, I guess, first when thinking about like shows centered around food and how that food moved the narrative forward is Old Fashioned Cupcake.
Yeah. I added that one in because when I was like thinking about shows centering around food, I was like, had that thought of like, okay, where are examples where food was like central to the narrative and the relationship between the two people involved, and Old Fashioned Cupcake came up because it was kind of them going out on these dessert dates and doing these different outings together and eating food and sharing food was kind of a way for, I'm going to pronounce his name, Nozu, I think maybe, to kind of like tap back into his youth that he felt like he was missing by turning 40. And it was a way for him to really open up and connect with Tagawa in a way for, you know, Tagawa had been kind of liking him for a long time, and like food and these dates and going out to get dessert together allowed him to see a different side of Nozu that Nozu had not allowed himself to like really express before. So I thought, like, even though like I couldn't necessarily pick like a specific food that they ate from that show, I know they went out like for a lot of desserts and cafes, but I feel like them going out and eating this food together, similar to like Jeng and Pat going to these restaurants together, really gave them the time to open up to each other and see each other and kind of develop those romantic feelings. So that was like one of the first ones I thought of.
I was kind of trying to think, because I also 100% agree, for like how to move the narrative forward, Old Fashioned Cupcake is the first thing that I think of as well, because it is it's literally how their entire relationship developed was through these dessert dates. And I was trying to think of like what was another show where that we hadn't mentioned or like haven't mentioned above that like food and the sharing of food really moved the relationship within the story forward. And I settled on the show In My Tooth, Your Love. Because the bar owner, Bai Lang, I hope I'm getting the name right, makes, basically he brings lunch. Sorry, my voice is just going again. Oh my god. He brings lunch, sometimes dinner, but he brings food to the dentist, who helps him get over his fear of dentistry. So he does that. It begins as a way to say thank you for seeing me, helping me through my fear of dentistry, seeing me and everything. It kind of starts as that, and it develops more into like this way of him showing that he actually cares for the dentist. And it's like his way of flirting that then develops into like, no, but I'm actually legitimately serious about you. I want to make sure that you're eating. I want to see you every day. I'm going to bring you this food. We're going to eat together, or I'm going to bring you this food so you can look good in front of your employees. Like, it's this whole thing. And then that develops into he actually will cook for him at home and will give him food at home, and like just the progression of their relationship through the bar owner just delivering him food and making him food, like that gave them the chance to spend time together outside of like dentist and client, and that allowed their relationship to develop further. So that one kind of came to mind in a way to drive like the relationship forward, the narrative forward, and the relationship forward.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other shows centered around food?
Well, as someone who feels like I'm the only bite me truther to exist, I still to this day think that show was good, but Bite Me was the series based on Salmon's one novel that is like mm-hmm. more comedic. Mm-hmm. And it's literally about a chef and then a line man, like a food delivery boy. And he like comes to pick up like food deliveries at the restaurant every day. And then he ends up like working at the restaurant and he cannot cook for shit. So the chef guy is teaching him how to cook or whatever. And there's so many like beautiful shots of just like food in the show. I feel like that's what like 90% of the show was. So it's very much like a show that was about food. But of course, as Ao is teaching Ek how to cook, they're getting closer. And there are two major conflicts in the series. And one I feel is, it's like them both being wary of their feelings for each other because they do have somewhat of an age gap. And then the other is that Ao wants to prove himself by winning this cooking competition for celebrity chefs that I believe he lost previously. And so the two very much go together because it ends up that Ek, who is the delivery boy, he ends up competing in the competition and he loses. And there's this whole thing where he feels like he is like not good enough for Ao because he can't cook. Like he's not on the same level of like being able to cook and all of this stuff. But it's always just like the food and just like the act of like cooking and staying after hours at the restaurant to like clean up and everything that, oh, it's so good. And there are so many times where Ao will make him food after hours because he didn't eat all day because he was working, which also goes into like taking care of someone and making sure that they eat. And it's just like this show was one of the first ones I thought of with this topic because it just really shows like how their relationship progresses over food and the act of making food and like giving food and all of that.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. I did not finish Bite Me, but I knew that as soon as I saw it on the list, I was like, Kayla needs to discuss this because I know that they love it. But yeah. I think like the element of like,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
People who aren't chefs, like whether it's a delivery driver or a kitchen staff or something like that, or a waiter, is always a really interesting element, because I feel like a lot of them focus on the chef because that's like the, I don't want to say noble position, but like, you know, it's that's like the coveted position.
The top position. Like yeah. The, mm-hmm. What you need to strive for, the ideal in that environment.
Yeah. So I always think it's interesting when like shows have elements of people who work with food but aren't, you know, like a delivery boy. Like, I think that's a really cool like main character to have, because like it's a very much like working class like job, or something that focuses on the kitchen staff or the wait staff or something like that, I think always adds a cool element, and you get to see a different side of like how food is relevant to care and community and love, which I think is cool.
All right, we have to talk about this show. There is no way we can have a food BL episode and not talk about ingredients.
Oh, like,
oh my god, like it, as I'm pretty sure Kayla put this point in, but like it's literally a cooking based ad for a supermarket, but it's like what, 20 episodes or like 25? It's like long. Each episode's like a minute or like 3 minutes or something, but there's so many episodes, and throughout that entire show you see so many different ways of showing care through making food. So many different ways. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is the first space that we see Jeff and Gameplay, or at the very least it's the first space that Jeff and Gameplay really got, like, popularity from, I guess. And it's a special, like, despite the fact that it is, like, this, I don't know, this cute sort of like story. It's such a special show in the sense that it's a slow burn. Mm-hmm. Holy moly. It is the slowest burn that ever burnt. It's like, but because of that, you get to see, like I said before, all of the different ways that, is it Tops who cooks? Yes. All of the different way that Tops is sharing his love of food and showing that he cares, and how this care, I guess, changes into romantic feelings, because they definitely start as friends at the very beginning, and then you kind of see through the way that Tops prepares the food. And there's even an episode where Marwyn, yes, there's an episode where Marwyn tries and fails miserably at cooking for Tops, and like this, and then just that whole sense of trying to do something to show that you care, even though it's not the best, even though it's not your skill, it's not the thing you're best at, it's something that is, you're trying, like that act of trying is so
stepping
important.
Out of your comfort zone for somebody else.
Stepping out of your comfort zone for somebody else, 100%. But yeah, this is like, like I said, it's the slowest of burns that ever burn. And the whole thing is centered around food, and the relationship is secondary, but it's like so good. And I think it is 100% one of the shows that you like, if you want to watch, like if you've decided that this episode is how you're finding out about shows to watch that are all centered around food, start with Ingredients.
No, it's a really cool format, I think. And even though like, it is literally an advertisement. They managed to put like so much heart in it. And I feel like there's a reason why people like got so attached to Tops and Marwyn and Jeff and Gameplay in those roles. Because like when you think about ingredients, like no offense to Tops, but like I'm not thinking about Tops Supermarket. Like I'm thinking about like the characters and Jeff and Gameplay as those characters. So it's a really interesting like example, I think, of. But I will have to say, I was really excited when we were in Thailand and we had like a Top supermarket right across from our Airbnb.
That we went into like every day.
Like in our ingredients era right now.
All right. What's the next one?
I'm going to say a lot of these I did not watch. I know that a lot of the Korean BLs are actually centered around food. Like, I know the Tasty Florida is a Korean BL. Bon Appetit, My Sweet Dear, even To My Star, like the chef. I can't think of their names right now. But he's a chef.
Ocean Likes Me also was.
Ocean, like, yeah, running a restaurant. Yeah.
All the Liquors.
Yeah. There's a lot of food and cafes and that element of food in Korean BL, I think. The Tasty Florida is on here. I haven't watched that one.
I think I watched it, but I literally do not remember the plot.
It was one of those ones that I remember did not have a lot of, like, staying power. And people thought it was just, like, mid, I think. But... Mm-hmm. I think they do a lot of
I remember them getting together on the rooftop and eating together, all the employees. Yeah. I remember that, but that's all
I remember. Yeah, because it was all based in the restaurant and, like, a lot of, because there were waiters at the restaurant, I believe. Or one of them was a cook.
They were running it together.
Remember. From memory, it was literally them running a restaurant. One of them was a waiter, one of them was a cook or a chef, I think, or they were both waiters or something like that. And a lot of their character development happened at the restaurant, I believe. Were they developing a drink or something, or food? They were developing a menu?
Great question.
I don't know. I know that in All the Liquors, there was, like, they were meant to be developing, so one's a chef and one's, like, a marketing guy or something, and... The chef doesn't like alcohol drunk in his restaurant. He kicks people out if they bring alcohol. And then this marketing guy is like, oh, we need to sell this, like, new alcohol. We need to create a menu with this new alcohol. We need to get this, like, really popular, online personality chef person to come and do this. Like, it'll be a really good partnership. And so he approaches this guy, and this guy at first says no, and then he says yes. And everyone's like, oh, why are you saying yes? You don't like alcohol. And it's, like, a way to kind of get to know him. And, like, he has to, the marketing guy has to work at the restaurant because he broke something, or he did something, he ate something, couldn't pay or whatever. And, like, so it's all centered around, like, food and menu and service and all that sort of stuff. But, like, that's about as far as I remember. But yeah, definitely a lot of the Korean BLs, like, they have this, like, big the setting, that's what I'm trying to say. The setting, it's a food setting, whether it's a kitchen, a restaurant, a cafe. Oh, what's that series where the friend Love Class 2. So in Love Class 2, like, one of the guys works at a cafe, and his friend comes to the cafe all the time and, like, just chills and everything. And then he sees the interaction between the guy and his manager at the cafe, and he's like, I don't know if I like that. And then they end up kind of, like, they're, like, they've been friends forever, and they end up kind of getting together, and the guy still comes to this cafe, but now he's, like, he's, like, jealous. He's, like, possessive, but, like, in a cute way. And it's, yeah, and I remember as well, before they got together, he came in to annoy the manager, because, like, his big thing was, like, I've got to annoy this manager to get rid of him so my friend is, like, not getting bullied. And so he comes in, like, while this manager's kind of, like, he's either just serving a customer or he's kind of flirting with these girls. And he comes in and he's, like, fully this scorned lover. And he's, like, yeah, it's so funny. Okay, that just reminded me. Like, the cafe setting just reminded me of that. Yeah.
No. Yeah, there's cafe and an unintentional love story, too. Like, one of the second leads runs a cafe, and Gong Chan's character ends up working there part-time. But it also ties into, like, the secondary romance with, like, it's, like, his high school best friend that they kind of had a falling out and have feelings for each other. And he ends up, like, working for him part-time when Gong Chan's character is sick, and it kind of, like, brings them back together. So Korean BLs love, they love a cafe, they love a restaurant, mm-hmm. and they love for it to be set mm-hmm. in the countryside or a small seaside town.
Like, there's always some entrepreneurs.
Yeah, if we're going right back, food and ingredients, and like right back to the earth, the roots of food. We got Love Tractor because he's a farmer.
That's funny.
Really back to the roots of food.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. All right. What are some other shows that have food as like a driving force, or it's kind of centered around food?
Well, we definitely have to talk about Moonlight Chicken. I mean, literally the title has chicken in it. But even though it's not centered around food or really even like food they're making at the restaurant, what the restaurant symbolizes for Jim is very much meaningful, because him and his previous lover that died opened it together. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like holding on to it because he misses that person and loves them, and him like being so desperate to try to get like a loan to save it and all this stuff is, I think I said, it's a testament to like just how much he still loves this person and mm-hmm. everything that just this restaurant they opened together meant to him and still does.
I think there's a lot to say about like community and food and Moonlight Chicken. And like, you know, even though, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Moonlight Chicken, at the end, like, he ends up like closing the physical location but opening like a stand for the chicken rice instead, and that ends up like the final shot of the show is like almost every character like sitting and eating at that restaurant, like at their individual tables with their individual partners or the person that they're setting them up to be involved with in the case of Alan and Gaipa. And so like the chicken rice dish as like, it almost kind of comes back to like, Jim put a lot of meaning into the physical location of the restaurant, but in the end, like, it's like Jim was actually the heart of the restaurant. And so like, even though the physical location doesn't exist, him and this dish still exist and attract the community and all of his family and friends. So I think that's like another less still tied to the romance, but also like really tied into like the community aspect of food and relationships, I think.
I don't have anything else to add, because that's like
no notes.
What did you eat yesterday? I never watched this one.
I haven't either. It's me on neither, because I see people talk about it a lot though.
What's it about?
I think I think this is one of the shows that our friends over at Femmes React really like. So that's how I first heard about it, but it's literally about like an older gay Japanese couple who come home from their jobs and eat dinner every night and just like talk about their days as they're eating dinner. I don't think there's really much else to it. Like, it's very simplistic and very domestic, but it's still, it's very much, it covers the spectrum of just like kind of like an old married couple eating together.
Yeah, that kind of ties back to some of the stuff we said at the like close to the beginning of the episode, and this idea of sharing over food, and that food is kind of the thing that brings you together and allows you to spend that time together, learn more about each other, like decompress, talk about your day, share that with your lover, the person that you love, and just have this meal together. And yeah, this sense of community and sharing, like, that sounds like a really sweet show.
Just simplistic, having this time together after a long day, and being able to share that together. I like that.
Cute. All right. What are some other shows? Did we mention La Cuisine, What's Up Man, Cooking Crush, obviously, like that's literally how this whole entire thing was inspired. Bake Me Please. What were some other, are there any other like shows, do we think?
If we're talking cafe, there's also Coffee Melody, which I didn't finish, but it was set in the cafe.
We love you, Benz.
Yeah.
I just thought of that one.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. Perfect Propose, which is a Japanese BL that just finished, is like very much similar to some of the other ones we mentioned, where it's like this, the one Kai is ends up moving in with Hiro because he doesn't have a place to stay, and like his payment for staying with him is cooking him a meal every day. Like they have like a, they are childhood friends, and Kai is very openly having a crush on him, and Hiro was like the classic overworked protagonist getting home at like 2-3 a.m. every day, and like these meals are kind of like his it's like a whole, his boss is like the devil. Like, you know, he comes home to these meals that Kai prepared for him, and it kind of like sets off like, what am I going to do when Kai leaves? Like, this person is really significant to me. And like the way he's been showing care for me has become really significant. So that one very recently just finished, and also kind of similar to some of the other plots where food is like caring for this person who very clearly does not and cannot care for themselves because of external forces. So,
yeah, that reminded me of my personal weatherman. The curry that he makes, and the fact that it's like when, I can't remember the characters' names, but when the weatherman first had that curry, it was horrible. It was the worst curry he's ever had, but he loved it because of his feelings for the artist, and then he always asked the artist to make him curry, or like he always wanted this curry or this like food. He always wanted the artist to make him this food as his way of showing that he cared. And so that, like, this food and this curry was how the weatherman felt cared for and felt like the feelings were reciprocated. Oh, that just reminded me of that. Okay, well, I guess this kind of falls really nicely into our next little section, which is iconic food moments. Iconic. And so, literally, we have to mention this. Like, this is the, literally the symbol food of Thai BL. The food symbol of Thai BL, which is the pink milk from Sodas.
What else is there to say?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, what else is there to say? Like, that's literally every Thai BL fan knows about the pink milk. Like, it's literally iconic. It's part of our merch. We have merch with pink milk on it. Like, it is so iconic.
I generally, like, don't think there's anything else to say. Like, it's literally just like a symbol of Thai BL. Like, it's that iconic.
Definitely. What else we got? We did kind of mention Palm making the desserts for the swim team and feeding it to Dean before. Hayla, do you want to cover the next one?
Okay, so in Middleman's Love, there's this whole plot point where Jade loves fried chicken and he wants to eat fried chicken all the time, but no one ever wants to eat fried chicken with him, especially his family. He'll go home to his family and he'll have requested, like, can we eat fried chicken tonight or whatever? And they always choose something that his younger sister or his older brother wants to eat instead because he's the middle child. He's the middle man. So he always gets, like, overlooked. And so it gets to a point by the end of the series where he, it's another one of those instances where he's like, can we eat fried chicken? And they're like, not today. And he snaps on them about, like, basically how he feels like no one cares. Like, his family doesn't care about him or whatever. And he's just, like, this middle child who's forgotten. And then he like makes up like with his siblings or whatever. And then he finds out that his brother brought home fried chicken for him to eat. And so he finally eats fried chicken with his family. And it's like this symbol of like showing that he is more than this middleman to the people in his life. Like, he's his own person who has his own likes and dislikes, including his love for fried chicken. So
cute.
I thought that was weirdly symbolic. Didn't think the fried chicken would be so symbolic, but it was.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's such a cute scene.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. When you actually, well, it's cute once you realize that they have the chicken and everything. It's a little bit sad when he's kind of, he's voicing his, like, how he feels about the fact that they never eat what he wants to eat. And he's not listened to. And, yeah, but then when you realize they've got the chicken, you're like, oh, okay, you do care.
Healing like, through chicken.
Yeah, healing through food. Food is healing, both physically and emotionally.
Made that as a plot point, and because I was thinking of something that I have a little bit later on this list. I almost put it as like a separate plot point, but I was like, we'll just talk about it.
Do you want to talk about it now?
So, I added in ice cream and love for love's sake, and how Yeowoon and Myungha, specifically, it starts with Myungha always offering to get Yeowoon ice cream after something really emotionally heavy has happened. So like the first day after Yeowoon's mom's funeral, and he essentially stops Yeowoon from jumping off this roof. He's like, do you want to go get ice cream? You know, every time Yeowoon is feeling really down or struggling with something, he kind of like offers to take him to get ice cream as a way to get his mind off of things and kind of just take him somewhere else, get him in a different environment. And then it kind of flips later in the series when Myungha sees his mom again, and Yeowoon is like, kind of uses his tactic on him and offers to take Myungha to get ice cream. And so ice cream is kind of a way to decompress and get someone's mind away from something really emotionally heavy or saddening or stressful that has just happened. Was very, very like significant, and love for love's sake. And so that kind of made me think of like food as emotional healing, in that show. So yeah, ice cream.
That's perfect. I never thought of it that way. Like, I just finished Love for Love's Sake, and I never thought of the ice cream in that way. That's that makes me think about certain scenes in a slightly different way. Like, I'm gonna have to do a rewatch with that in my brain.
Yes, perfect reason to do 100%. A rewatch.
Yep. This is gonna be your I Feel You Linger in the Air as well, isn't it? You're gonna find
I'm always rewatching something from that show, so you know what, let me go rewatch the olive oil scene after this. I guess if I have to.
I threw a couple in here. I was thinking, I think mine are probably a little bit more fun. Like, Alexa, you had a really good, like, emotional one. And, like, Kayla, the chicken with Jane's family, was so, like, special. And I'm just like, the Kim Porsche bread scene.
Okay, but that one kind of fits into the sexual aspect.
Yes, okay, actually. Yeah. 100%. I feel like even
there could be... I feel like there could be a whole separate episode on like food and ads and PL. Like, that's like a whole separate episode idea. But yeah, the bread, iconic element.
Literally
of Kim
an
Porsche.
Ad, but it's iconic. But it's iconic, 100%. And then another one I was thinking of was the birthday cake scene from History 3 Trapped. And just how. It was throwing the birthday party, but it was also having that cake, that physical thing, that he could blow out the candles, and like that physical thing that signified his birthday, and giving that to him, delivering that to him, that experience, and knowing, like, as a way to show that he cared, and also as a way to show that he understood him.
Yeah.
And then, like, and then the cake on the face and the kiss and the
food and design.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel like this is, I feel like Kayla popped this one in as well. The,
Kayla has to talk about Bedfriend.
You gotta talk about Bedfriend.
That's my thing. I always have to incorporate Bedfriend. Yeah. Actually, yes. I thought of another cake scene too, separate from one, but, yeah, in Bedfriend, there's this scene, well, there's an episode where it's Uwe's birthday and he, against his will, goes home and he gets in an altercation with his abusive stepdad. And so he goes to King's house and he just like takes a bath and he's just like sad laying in the bath. And he's like, this birthday sucks. And then he's flashing back and thinking about how one time when he was little, he saw this mom singing like happy birthday to their kid and like bringing them out a cake, and his mom was like yelling at him or whatever and like dragging him away from the restaurant window he was looking in or something. And then King brings him a fucking cake and sings him happy birthday when he's in the bathtub. And it's like the first time he's felt like his birthday mattered to someone, and the first time he like felt genuinely cared for. But there's another cake scene. There's one in Step by Step.
The cake became unrelevant. Oh, the one where they're singing for Pat.
Yeah.
In
the office.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the one.
The kitchen cake. One. Yeah. The kitchen one is different.
Yeah, that one's a little bit different. But yeah, no, Step by Step and the kind of emotional moment tied to that scene of Jang kind of stepping back emotionally, realizing that he was causing Pat pain. Yeah, there's a lot of... And then the other one's very much like, the cake is not relevant. There's a lot of other stuff going on. Which is in the next section.
Yeah! I'll just quickly mention my last point in iconic food moments, and then we'll move straight into the iconic food adjacent moment. I guess this technically is food adjacent, because I was like, does the ice from Tarntype count? Probably not.
Oh, God.
We don't need to expand on that. That moves us really nicely into the next section, which is called iconic food adjacent moments, and then in brackets, basically making out in the kitchen.
I have one to add to this, but go ahead.
Okay. So literally the first point is step by step kitchen makeout.
Yep. And the whole catalyst for that is that it is, it's Jang's birthday. And
I think so.
Pat is bringing him a cake to make up to him, and
they
eat part of the cake later on. But like, literally, cake gets thrown on the ground because they are like, we are making out on this kitchen countertop. So you know, cake not super relevant in that scene.
We are climbing these kitchen countertops and making out. Like, cake's on the floor. We don't care.
This is where he literally cooks food for his restaurant, but like, it's fine. Yeah. Cleanliness, too.
We'll sanitize later. And the next one I had was the Tarntype kitchen makeout. So that was Tarntype 2, I was thinking. I think it was the second season. And they're just like making dinner or something. And then, he literally just backs him onto a counter. Top and they make out, and I was like, yep, that fits here. That definitely fits here. And then I also had the Love in the Air kitchen make out.
Yeah.
Where, like, I think they were making food, and then he sung to him, and then the kiss, and I was like, I'm just gonna ignore the singing part, but the kissing part. and then I also had the kitchen flirting in Only Friends.
Oh, between... with Ray and Sand. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And then I also had a point that was like, what's with the boys kissing in the kitchen? Like, because when you start thinking about it, you're like, I think there's like, Lovely Rider has a
I think I know which one Kayla thought of.
I thought of two now.
Okay. Here we go. All right.
There's another one.
Yep.
There's another one in Only Friends with Forsen Books characters,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, literally, like first, in the first episode.
Literally on yeah. the counter.
Literally on the counter. Literally. Yes. Yeah.
There's that one, and then there's Cutie Pie.
That's whenever yeah. I thought of us. Like,
Leanne yeah. is oh, Leanne's cooking. And yeah. Kua tries to cut the egg and he fails at it and he starts crying and then they start making out on the counter.
Yeah, as one does, as you do.
Oh, yep. Yep.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any others I can think of. I feel like it happens a lot, but it for does. Some reason I'm blanking on specific examples now.
I'm sure, and we haven't seen Cooking Crush, but I'm sure there is a kitchen makeout scene.
I think I
have bet another... my life on that.
I think I actually saw a discussion in the Discord about how there was a whole, like, not storyline, but like scene in that show about like the kitchen counter as like a sacred place, and for that reason they like did not make out on. Please forgive me if I'm wrong. I'm very much paraphrasing from what I remember, because I
they need to tell all the other BL boys.
Yeah, because I literally went in the room and I was like, well, that's not what happened in Step by Step. They literally set up the kitchen counter. So friends who have watched Cooking Crush, please confirm if that, like, give some yeah. more detail on that, because I'm very vaguely remembering that conversation. But they were very specifically like, you know, the kitchen counter, that's like funny. For a chef, your sacred spot. So don't do anything to sully it. And, you know, every other chef in BL does not follow that
just
rule.
Just popping their partner up on that countertop. And
you know, I thought of another thing from Middleman's Love with food. Mm-hmm. My putting all of the sticky notes with the food and drink expiration dates on it. Yeah. So that Jade knows when stuff is spoiled, because he leaves stuff in his fridge for too long.
Wow. Yeah. I need someone who would do that for me.
Oh my god. I wish. I just don't forget. I just don't remember expiry dates. And then I go to cook something and I'm like, oh, this expired last month. Awkward. Guess I'm going to the shops.
I feel like it's not really relevant to anything specific, but I just need to give a shout out to and if you're watching this episode by now, our last Twilight deep dive is already out and we've talked about it. Jimmy as chef in yes. Literally not relevant, just Jimmy as a chef just feels like it needs to be mentioned here. Mm-hmm. With his backwards cap. You know, but I feel like that's food is kind of relevant to his character development in Last Twilight and finding something that he's passionate about doing as a career after getting out of prison. But it literally just sounds like chefs, Jimmy, Last Twilight. And I felt like I needed to mention that.
I think you've done so well this episode. You've gotten
inquiry including
and Kayla too, including their fame. Oh, well done. Well done.
What a perfect
claps
way.
For the both
in
of you.
Conclusion. Thank you. Thank you.
But yeah, I guess to round it out, do we want to mention that very last point that you've popped into the sheet, Kayla?
Yeah, so Char, shout out. She's been trying to get me to watch this show, and I haven't. but I know that it's very popular. Like, people love this show right now. Mm-hmm. And it's this Japanese GL called She Loves to Cook and She Loves to Eat. And I guess it's about this girl, these two girls who are neighbors, and they end up bonding over food because one day the one girl invites the other one over for dinner. And so I guess they like make a routine out of it. And like I said, a kind of like married couple domestic type way. Because neither of them, I don't think, have any like close people in their lives. So it's just like them eating food and cooking, I guess. I don't know the details, but people seem to really like that one right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
I see a lot about it.
I've seen a few bits and pieces from it too, but I haven't watched it fully. I definitely want to check it out.
Fingers crossed we'll see more GL and food crossovers in 2024 with all the GLs that are hopefully coming out in the next year. So We'll have to do a separate topic. Maybe we'll have a whole offshoot episode on food and GL.
Yes. Alrighty, well, that's, I guess that's it for this week's episode. Oh my god, I'm gonna have to try and remember what our outro is. Jesus. What is it?
Thanks for watching.
Yeah.
Bye.
Oh, if you know. Okay. Alright, so that's it for this week's episode. If you liked this episode, please like, subscribe, share. Share with your friends. Share with your BL friends. We like to bring people into the community. We love to chat with everyone. And it also just like helps us out with the algorithm and all that sort of stuff. Please let us know your thoughts on food and BL down in the comments. Add us on socials. Come join our Discord server and talk to us about food and BL there. Yeah, please talk to us. I'm pretty sure I say this in every outro please that I ever do, but please come and talk to us.
The desperation.
I sound so lonely. Please come talk to us. But anyway. Okay. On that note, we love you all and we'll see you next week. No, we don't. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Whenever we'll see you, we'll see you whenever we see you. This is a fucking mess.
Bye.
Bye. Sorry, guys. That was the worst outro we've ever done.
No, that was great.
I'm sorry.
Oh, perfect. If I hadn't started cracking up at the police, come talk to us. The desperation in your voice just took me out.